Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host, Anne Gripper. I'm here in the studio in actual real life with Daily Mirror Royal Editor, King of all things Royal at the Mirror, Russell Myers. And it's a good week because Charles and Kate are back at home.
Good news for the House of Windsor. Good news for us, reunited in the studio. It is good news. So we've sort of waiting and having to wait and see what happened with poor Kate, who'd been in for nearly 2 weeks. I mean, that's quite a hospital stay. I know that the Kensington Palace have been quite tight-lipped about this, and which is absolutely fair enough. It's a private medical matter and everybody has respected those wishes, but tells you a bit of the seriousness of her condition and her abdominal surgery, that she was in hospital for a couple of weeks. And then you've got the extended period of time on the sidelines up until right after Easter. But fantastic news that she left just a few hours before the King on Monday morning, out the back door. Nobody was seen, nobody saw her rather, and at home in Windsor recuperating. So
I did see the cars being driven away with all the flowers. And
well, there's a lot of activity, isn't there? And so I saw a few online articles sort of looking at members of staff who'd been coming and going and their various roles and duties for the Waleses, which is, I suppose, fairly interesting in the vacuum of stories that we seem to have found ourselves in. But good news for Kate. We wish her well. Of course, it's going to be a slow and steady recovery. You've still got Prince William taking some time out of the picture as well to look after the children and to make sure that she is rested and settled. I don't think we'll see him for a week or two, would you presume?
Wait until after half term.
When is half term?
The week.
I'm still in.
It might be the week of Valentine's Day.
I'm still in the luxury of not having to know about half terms.
Yeah. You do need to know about Valentine's Day, though.
I probably should do.
I think it's that week. Might be the week after. Okay. I think it's that week.
So the king is out and well. We've had an update from Camilla today. She was talking at an engagement in Windsor. Just going to pull it up what she said. She said the king is getting on and doing his best, follow his 3-night hospital stay. And she was asked, she was at the Royal Free Hospital in Northwest London today, opening up a new unit for Maggie's Cancer Support Centre. And she was asked by Sir Gerald Ronson, who is one of the donors to the hospital, and how the King was. And she said, he's getting on doing his best. So I suppose we can take that to mean he's doing all right. He looked pretty sprightly as he left through the front doors of the London clinic the other day.
A wave.
Yeah.
He'd not even got in when we were speaking last week.
Right. And obviously, oh gosh, yes.
Because he went on on the Friday
yeah.
Stayed in over the weekend. He and Camilla were, you know, obviously came out together, but they called in to see Kate as well on the Friday on the way in, which
it's an extraordinary set of circumstances, really, with two royals on various corridors of a private hospital in the same one. I did see one story said the King had elected to go there to save money on the security costs. I mean, I know he's a hard worker and all, but I can't imagine these things may have been taken into consideration. I'm sure
side
he was
bonus.
Going, yeah, where the best care for him was. And we should take a moment. I know we did mention this last time, but the NHS has enjoyed an 11-fold increase into the amount of people who are going onto the National Health Service website looking for symptoms of enlarged prostate. Apparently, it was like one every 5 seconds, or at one stage. And so this is sort of a lasting legacy to leave. I don't know whether he'll come out publicly and talk about his enlarged prostate. I imagine he'll have more pressing matters on his mind like when he gets back to work. However, that should be celebrated. It's quite a sort of leap from the royals of old. I can't imagine sort of the Queen's generation talking about their enlarged prostates or doing a campaign drive for various health ailments. But
And it was
good.
It,
one on the king.
A nod to that in the statement that came out as he went home. Thank you to all those who have sent their good wishes during the king's hospital stay. His Majesty is delighted that his diagnosis is having a positive impact on public health
very
awareness.
Much so. Very much so. And we've had this with Fergie as well, haven't we? Because of her talking about her breast cancer diagnosis. Now she's had a very unfortunate diagnosis of skin cancer, malignant melanoma. And again, she's doing quite a lot. She's been, you know, on the airwaves or on the social media talking about it. And these kind of conversations will obviously help people get your moles checked, get checked in for enlarged prostates, you know, could lead to all sorts of nasties. So I think that the royals doing their bit. Maybe that would have been my answer to your question about what was it? What role do the royals have? Maybe they can be health ambassadors.
We'll come to that, yes. So a lot of our listeners spotted that I did keep my promise from last week and put the poll up on an Instagram story. And I'm going to start a new franchise, Russell. We're going to have a question of the week.
Oh, I like that.
To our listeners.
Very good. Very
yes.
good.
So
we need a jingle.
The first challenge for Dan the Second, as we've dubbed our new, he has dubbed himself our new producer, Dan.
King is dead, little, long live the king.
Little jingle, please. The statement that came out when Kate came home said that she was making good progress. And I thought it was interesting that they, as well as thanking the entire team at the London Clinic, they did make a special mention of the dedicated nursing staff for the care they have provided.
Yeah, I thought that as well, actually.
Because I guess when you go in initially for your treatment, then that's probably a bit more medical. But the ongoing care and the people who are looking after you during that extended stay, the people you're going to see and get to know, and I mean, it must be a bit weird, you know, like your patient is the Princess of Wales, and how much of a chat is it okay to have?
Yeah,
because you're looking after them for 10 days. You're getting to know them.
Yeah, I just think that I thought it was a nice touch, actually. And you're totally right. That is the reason. An extended period of time in hospital, no doubt that there'll be community nurses looking after her at home as well. And I'm sure it was very, very welcome from the hard working health professionals and the nurses, especially at the hospital.
And the Wales family continues to be grateful for the well wishes they have received from around the world. I mean, going back to the king, I'm just hoping we see him do Movember this year.
We did have a beard once. You've seen these pictures of him with a beard when he was a young man, when he was in the forces.
Oh,
he looks
rugged.
Quite dashing.
Wow. Bring it back. Bring it back.
I
November.
Think Williams has had a beard as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he I don't think he'd do it now because he's not got so much up top to offset so well. But we'll see. November, I mean, definitely in the UK, that's the kind of male cancer awareness.
It is. And possibly, no.
Do you grow the mo?
No, I've grown a beard once and it was when I was off for the summer. I'm not doing it again.
top tip, don't grow a beard in the summer because the rest of your face gets tanned and when you take the beard off...
That did happen.
You look ridiculous.
I did, yeah. I look like some sort of Lego figure.
We wish Kate and Charles continued good recovery. It's Carol Middleton's birthday this week as well, so hopefully there'll be some cake around to cheer them all up. And the rest of the royals...
Well, it's interesting. You'll no doubt, listeners of the podcast will be familiar with my newsletter that I'm doing every week. And I broached the subject this week about Camilla being sort of front and centre of the royal family. She's heading up the firm while the others are taking a leave of absence, whether it's through their own health woes or, of course, Prince William taking time off to look after the kids and Kate when she's at home. But she is the central figure. And, you know, it's not really that long ago, you know, probably a couple of decades or whatever, from when she was kind of public enemy number one. People were sort of remonstrating with her in supermarkets. There were column inches devoted to her being a homewrecker. Then, of course, she's brought into the family, keeps her head down, gets on with the job, aligns herself very quietly to causes which have really had an incredible, I suppose, force for good for her profile as well. So she's talking about issues that haven't really got a lot of coverage, domestic violence in the home and beyond, children's literacy. And I think that from her just keeping calm, getting on with the job, people have not only become accustomed to her being around, but really taken her into their hearts. And even, really, when you look at the late Queen's statement, it's her sincere wish that she'd be known as Queen Consort. We've even had another leap from that they've quietly dropped the consort. She's now the Queen. And I don't even think, even from then, which it was, it really wasn't that long ago, a couple of years ago, that the that Buckingham Palace, Clarence House and Charles and Camilla wouldn't have foreseen a period like she is enjoying now.
Because I was trying to remember, there was definitely a relatively recent period, and I think it was around that statement, or it might have been when there was some Netflixing going on, where they basically had to shut down pretty much the Instagram comments on the... on the sort of the royal family feed. On certainly on anything to do with them, because there was, you know, they were unpleasant and
absolutely,
it was not
yeah.
what you want to be promoting. And I was looking, I was look ahead of the show, you know, look back over the pictures of what's been posted and sort of refresh myself of all of the royal mayhem that's been going on since we last caught up. And looking at the comments under the video, you know, gathered with the authors for the tiny, tiny books, which I'm now mildly obsessed by, they look amazing. Just how sort of unrelentingly lovely they were. And I looked at this and it's like, there's some kind of restriction on that. Like, are they doing a lot of, they may be doing a degree of vetting to it, but you have to have some good comments on there on the first place to have some good ones to show.
And I'm not sure they are. It would take an awful lot of time to be vetting comments. I mean, but I do think, you know, from there was definitely a more than a degree of nervousness in the palace when that announcement was made, because they really did expect, I think, a bit of a backlash of people saying, you know, God, how on earth has this come to fruition? It wasn't too long ago where Camilla certainly wasn't flavour of the month. And it went without trouble at all. And then since then, I think you're talking about the big causes that she's aligned herself with, and people have actually really had a newfound respect for her and sort of how hard she works. I mean, she's 76. She's should have been putting her slippers on and putting her feet up by the fire, but she's actually probably working more now than she ever has done.
Absolutely.
And certainly more than the last couple of weeks, because she's the main woman.
But I thought the comment that was just at the top, it really caught my eye. I just thought, this actually does, I mean, this is exactly what the royal family would want, and this would make Charles feel a lot better as he has his recovery. So this comment said, I've changed on her. I think she's making a great queen. She's easy to approach, not intimidating, and kind. I think she is making her own way nicely. No one can ever replace QE2, but Camilla is doing a great job. So, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good Google review you'd be getting. You'd be quite happy with your rating there. Camilla does look like she's taking it all in her stride and carrying on as being front and centre and last woman standing.
Well, I think, yeah, you know, there's an argument of Camilla not necessarily liking the job. I think, you know, she thought that that we look at the coronation, the nervous smiles, doesn't necessarily like the attention. I would argue that not necessarily she's basking in the attention, but she's actually enjoying the responsibility of carrying the firm forward, because there is a lot of attention. She gets the opportunity to do, you know, the Doll's House Miniature Library, which you have become obsessed with, and a bit of nepotism with her son writing one of the books, I thought. But, you know, if you can't sort of bestow gifts to your children, who can you bestow them to? But joking aside, I think she's enjoying the responsibilities that are at her door now, and is happy to sort of shoulder the responsibility whilst Charles is getting rested and while Kate and William are out of the picture.
And it is nice that she's been able to continue work in the areas that she does care about, and the sort of ongoing relationships like Maggie's is something that has come up on a number of occasions.
Absolutely.
since we've been doing this
and I
show.
Think people did think that, gosh, as Charles had said, you know, I'm not stupid enough to think that becoming the monarch is very, very different to Prince Wales' job, and there's different responsibilities. I don't think he's changed too much. I mean, he's not necessarily probably writing letters to ministers and whatnot. Maybe he is, but I think that people thought, well, gosh, would she have to shy away from making such bold statements, as some people think they are. I think that it's commendable that she hasn't. She's sort of definitely thrown herself into it and said, I won't shy away from the responsibilities that I've taken on over the last few years.
The mini books, things I particularly loved, her handwriting is beautiful and incredible.
It is, yeah.
Very nice. And the teeny tiny cipher to put the little, put her crest on the front of the book. I'd quite like one of those, but nobody would be able to see anything. It's tiny. And she also admitted that, you know, her eyesight has regressed a little bit. Minor health troubles in the grand scheme of things compared to everybody else. But, you know, well done. Well done, Camilla. Carry on.
Very good. Well done. Yes.
Good job. I think Sophie must have been on her visit down in Dulwich when we were chatting last week,
yes.
Because we didn't, it all sort of came out just after we'd recorded. But going back again to, you know, things that you don't necessarily expect the royals to be talking about, and Sophie had done it previously talking about menopause and that, the impact of that on her, but talking about periods,
yeah.
And not just talking about periods, because talking about periods is one thing, but actually really talking about her own periods,
yeah,
when
yeah.
She's asked about you know, what comes to mind when talking about periods, and she said, when you have heavy periods, worrying about when you stand up from a chair, that's the worst one,
especially in the, you know, being a woman in the public eye. I mean, it's a real concern. It's a discussion's obviously taken place. I think Wimbledon has now said that women don't have to wear white shorts. I mean, this is should have been done years ago, decades ago. It's insane how this is allowed to carry on. But again, it does help when you're having a member of the royal family, someone with a very big public profile, talking about health concerns, I suppose.
Well, it's not even health. It's just like it's a way of
life. It's your health
life,
and well-being, isn't it? I suppose your mental health of worrying about that issue as a woman, I can imagine, it would affect your mental health. And it's something that young women shouldn't have to deal with. And I think what was interesting is going into schools and discussing it with school children, 16 to 18, these young girls were.
And she said to the boys, three boys had come along as well, you're very brave to get involved, but actually it's really important. And other countries, you know, I've been to other places seem to be better at bringing them into the conversation. And then one of the boys said his sister gets a bit moody before her period. So Sophie was joking, we better lock the knives away.
Yes, indeed.
Which was so classic. But just, so Sophie's been involved with the wellbeing of women organization for a while, and so they were down at this school, and Tanya Simon Hall was giving a Mythbuster talk as part of her Adino Gang work, which does menstrual health education workshops. But if you want a myth-busting talk, and Sophie's gonna talk about, you know, the fear of standing up from a chair if you've got a heavy period, and then also talking about I mean, the idea that teenage girls go shopping together and buy their tampons together. I don't know, maybe they do, but doesn't your mum or dad just buy them? Your mum gets them, or your dad just puts them in the supermarket
don't
shopping.
But speak about this. I mean, this is, who was I? Maybe it was one of my wife's friends who told us a heartbreaking story about her mother had never given her the talk about periods, and she had to go and get them sanitary towels herself at like 11. And I thought, God, that's really sad. I can't imagine not having that conversation with my daughter. And so maybe they do. Maybe that's what the reality for some girls is, having to go with your mates, having to discuss it. And if you are in schools and it's being discussed, then surely that's a really positive step.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, the difference in sizes, and it's not about being big down there. It's just you've got more.
Yes, exactly.
So extraordinary. So I think, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Judy Blume, formative book.
Oh, right.
For many teenage girls, which is an excellent one as well. And it's interesting. And they were also talking about some of the girls, I think, saying something, their friends having to stay at home because the families couldn't afford to buy sanitary products at the time. And I think there's definitely been more of a discussion in the last few years about sort of hygiene poverty and making sanitary products available for free in public buildings and other places. So it's interesting. And yeah, Sophie, frank, honest,
liking it.
Good work, Sophie. Edwards had sort of his aside, say men can't win anything last week as well, which was semi-political when he was down in South Africa. But
yes,
last week we were talking about the tortoise. I kept another promise. I did post the picture of the tortoise. A couple of I think our listeners think that the tortoise is quite fighty, because Pammy Loves Skippy, the caption that she suggested for the picture was, I've outlived seven monarchs and I'll probably outlive your brother's reign too. What have you got to say about
that? Well, absolutely, yeah. 192.
And then
Eileen Wyman. Gotta be the oldest mammal in the world, surely.
See, that's exactly what I did. I wrote mammal by mistake on the Instagram. It's not a mammal, which I know. It's a reptile. It lays eggs.
Oh, right, okay.
And it kind of hibernates and gets the heat from the sun and stuff.
Did I know that? Yeah, I probably didn't know that.
Yeah.
Turtles.
I think...
Watched a bit of David Attenborough in my time.
Stop to think. oldest living creature, currently. And Eileen Wyman, I had a marmalade sandwich with your mum before Paddington was even stuffed. which I did enjoy. So thank you very much for those. Good review for you last week as well.
Oh, what have I done?
Anne Hardock. She said, I enjoyed this new episode today, as always, and really appreciate Russell's analysis of the overseas trips. Eager to see how this unfolds over the King's reign. So there you go.
Sure. I'm always here to serve.
Nearly as popular as Camilla, you are. But it was that discussion about the overseas trips that got us talking about the point of the royal family again. And I kept that, as discussed earlier in the show, I kept that promise and did post the poll on Instagram. So it turns out there are rather too many things that the royal family do to be able to include them all in one Insta poll. So I had to ask people to send their answers in instead. But the options in theory were constitutional head of state, encourage public service and charity, recognise and support the armed services, be the supreme governor of the Church of England, provide a sense of continuity and focus for national identity, unity and pride, promote the UK abroad, recognise exceptional achievement by issuing honours, and then I added, or something else. So people very kindly got in touch, and here are a few of the things that they said. Jack McEwen said, embody the primary values of the state and represent the UK on the world stage. Julie Whitworth highlighted public relations and tourism. Lex Luthor agreed with that theory. Amy Downer wanted them to raise awareness and represent the UK. For Jen Stolp, it was about being the constitutional head of state. History Hardy said the same, and so did William Single. For Elizabeth Day, it was the sense of continuity. Casey set standard for civility and grace that she thought the royal family do and should, as opposed to Casey setting that standard. Mitzi Lundy was about preserving Britain's unique history and unifying the nation in shared experiences. Catherine Ellen was a bit more critical, saying they should actually care about the Commonwealth countries if they want us to remain in the realm. For Deborah Lagatuta, sorry Deborah, encourage public service and charity. They are awesome. Nancy N also went down the charity route. Shine a light on charitable organisations and groups that help vulnerable populations. For Stephanie, it was provide cultural identity and leadership that's non-political but reflects society norms. Katie Knorr, providing the democratic anchor we need. And for Caligirl 5, I thought they did everything shown here. And I think, that for me is kind of the point of it all. But some interesting points to pick up on in that as well. So, yeah, some interesting comments coming back. Probably no clear winner. Maybe kind of just general figureheadness and use your platform for good would be the overriding vibe. But I thought it was quite interesting, the word being a democratic anchor for something that actually in some ways is so fundamentally undemocratic than just being born into a family. But also actually something, what was it, Stephanie talking about reflecting society's norms. And I mean, there's not a lot that's normal about living in a big palace, but part of what they are trying to project, I guess, is make those human connections and say that we are people like you. We have periods.
Sure.
We have enlarged prostates.
Well, it does help, I suppose, because, you know, they are cut off. I mean, Charles especially is like a man from a bygone era, I always say. I mean, you just have to listen to him to think that he's not necessarily from this world. But it does sort of personalise them a bit, right? And give you a bit more normality of something must be just absolutely insane living in their world. I think the Waleses have tried to do that especially, haven't they? They've moved to a smaller residence. They don't have, you know, they say they don't have sort of servants and sort of hordes of nannies. I know they do have the Maria, but I suppose it's trying to give yourself an air of, you know, we're just like you, probably does help your cause a little bit when you're still being flown around in helicopters and private jets.
The royals that are still out and about at the moment, Princess Anne also out and about. I think it's clear anytime she gets to go do a job with horses, that's going to be a good day in her diary. And the pictures of her at the Riding for the Disabled up in Nantwich were particularly lovely. She looked like she was having a great time, as did the kids. Everybody loves getting a rosette, clearly. And rugby is coming up as well, so I'm sure we'll see her at Murrayfield, even if William and Kate are going to miss out on a lot of the rugby and sporting action, probably. Because when you're off sick from work, you can't go just for fun to the fun things, particularly when they're on the telly.
And you'll be caught on the telly. Yes. Yeah, that'd be quite interesting. Might get a call from the boss.
You can go sit at home and watch it with the kids. What have we got coming up to look forward
well,
to?
Well, your guess is as good as mine at the moment. It's going to be a bit thin, but no doubt Camilla is throwing herself into work. She's got another couple of engagements this week coming up, so she's definitely flying the flag for the firm and moving forward. I do think we will see some form of update for Kate and the King over the next couple of weeks, and we expect Prince William probably I would say a decent period of time is another week or two. Let Kate get settled, depending on how she is. And then I suppose that'll be a good marker for moving forward. But it is unfortunate that they've had to sort of cancel or postpone, possibly rearrange these two tours, one to Latvia and one to Italy, which was going to be especially big because it's going to be their first tour for 2 years. So I think, it'll possibly be a busy summer and autumn because they might want to play catch up.
How difficult is it to rearrange those kind of things that have been in the diary for a long time? I mean, the King and Queen, they did manage to get France. Back to France pretty quickly, considered.
Yeah, I mean, just pull the plug on it and just and hope the hosts can host you again. I'm sure they will want to. It's very much the government's wish that they go out there in this sort of post-Brexit world and be their first trip to Italy, which I found strange. I thought, gosh, I imagine they've been to Italy before. But it's important for a number of factors. So I think they will end up going again later this year.
We're going to get to our question of the week.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to go for one. So
you need a jingle.
Given that William, Kate and Charles, they're currently out of action, recovering or supporting recovery. Which of the members of the royal family who are currently out and about would listeners invite to their charitable event and why? Who would be the person that they would want to have turn up to cut the ribbon, eat the cake, glad hand the people, and generally be their poster person for the day.
So very good.
You have a think, Russell.
I have a think.
You
tell
me next week. You can ask Mrs. Myers if you want.
I will do,
get her answer. But listeners,
I already know hers, actually. So,
oh, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a big fan of a certain member of the royal family. But we'll update you next week.
Oh, cliffhangers. Excellent. Listeners, thank you very much for getting in touch with your comments. Do join us on Instagram and we will be back next week. Russell, lovely to catch up with you as ever, and until next time.
Pod save the King.